Coming to you from the text of Luke this morning, Luke the 10th chapter, Luke the 10th chapter, verses 38 and 42, 38 through 42, Luke the 10th chapter, verses 38 through 42, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, the Word of God reads, "Now it came to pass as they went that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" That's again Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 38 through 42. I want to speak to you today from the title, Rearranged Priorities. Rearranged Priorities. Now, keep your finger there, and then let's go over to Revelation, the first chapter in the 9th verse. Amen. Revelation 1 and 9. The Word of God reads, "I, John, am your brother and your partner in suffering and in God's kingdom and in the patient endurance to which Jesus calls us. I was exiled to the island of Patmos for preaching the Word of God and for my testimony about Jesus Christ." Here, John has been sent to the island of Patmos, and it's interesting that this place of Patmos, a lot of the historians believe that Patmos was not listed as primarily a place of imprisonment at this time. There were other islands where the Romans sent a lot of people to be imprisoned, but it's not clear if John was specifically put in prison. What is clear is that they had banished him to the island of Patmos to live there. So we don't know if John was there to be in prison or if they just sent John into exile that he would make, so just to make sure that John would shut up about the gospel, to make sure that John didn't have to be heard anymore, because you couldn't stop John. You couldn't keep him from speaking about Jesus. He just wouldn't shut up. So here in this lonely, isolated, extreme version of social distancing, if you will, in a time, a place where John is by himself and all alone, John gets a revelation from God. John gets insight and foresight in this revelation. In other words, God gives him understanding of what's happening at that present time, and he also gives him understanding of what is getting ready to happen. So, first of all, insight. Jesus, in the first chapter of Revelation, you can read it, he gets right down into business and telling John to write letters to the seven churches that are in place at that time. And what was happening then is Jesus gives somewhat of, as I taught my church, somewhat of a report card. a status, to let the church know where they are sitting and how they're doing. And at this time, there's compromise, there's immorality, there's deceptive heresy from false prophets. There are churches that are doing well and that he praises, but all of these churches, whether they're doing well or not, they're also surrounded by paganism and idolatry in their communities. And there is, in some churches, a spiritual complacency that's setting in. And it slipped into the church. And so John received insight as to where the church was and the position or the status or the report card that Jesus Christ has given the churches. And then also John receives foresight into coming future events. Well, John will be able to know what's getting ready to happen. But most importantly, John gets what I believe is the most important thing, and that is a clear revelation of Jesus Christ himself. And you can see that in verse 12, same chapter. Drop down to Revelation 1:12. The word of God says, Revelation 1:12. If you have it in your Bible, just read it. We don't want to distract you. When I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven gold lampstands. And standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were like white wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. And he held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth. And his face was like the sun in all its brilliance. And when I saw him, John says, this is his response. He said, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But then the Son of God, Jesus, laid his hand, his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. So here's the thing. John gets insight into the churches. God gives him insight into what's going to happen in the future. But John gets a revelation of Jesus Christ himself. He sees Jesus clearly as he is. Very different from the pictures that we hang on our walls of Jesus Christ. But what was the posture of John when he received this revelation in Revelation, the first chapter? Well, back up just a few verses to verse 10. Verse 10. Aha. Uh-huh. And it said, and it was the Lord's day, and I was worshiping in the Spirit. Now, this is the New Living Translation, but the King James Version says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And what does that mean by being in the Spirit on the Lord's day? Well, it's walking in unclouded fellowship with him, in a position where you are not distracted and you can receive from the Lord divine communication. Amen. In order to be able to hear God, we need to be near God. And when we get away from all of our distractions, then we can get the clear instructions from God. But more than that, you get a pure picture of Christ, a clear picture of who Jesus Christ is. And then in that moment where you're in the presence of God, Jesus gives you a clear picture of yourself. Amen? Amen. So John, as we can see here, was not in a church. There was no service happening when he received this revelation. He was in prison, or as some people believe, historians believe, he was exiled. Amen? It's good that we gather together on the Lord's Day, and in fact, that is what we are commanded to do from the Word of God. But that should never replace, and must not ever replace, us getting quiet before the Lord on our own. So John is social distancing. John is in isolation. John is away from all of the churches and church business. John is away from everybody. And Jesus comes and shows him what the churches should be doing, how they're doing. And Jesus shows John a clear picture of himself. And as we saw in verse 17, when John saw Jesus, his response was to fall at his feet. This is where I'm going this morning. Now let's go back to our text. Luke 10, 38 through 42. Luke 10, 38 through 42. Now it came to pass, as they went, that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. It came to pass as they went that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Jesus into her house. Underline that word received him, or those two words received him. And she had a sister. Her sister's name was Mary. And here we are. Watch this. Which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. So, back up. John is on the island of Patmos, receives instructions from Jesus Christ. Amen. And he sits at the feet of Jesus and hears the rest of it. And here we have Mary also sitting at the feet of Jesus. And both John and Mary pretty much get the same thing. What do they get? They get the word of God. Amen. They get the master's words. Mary is attentively listening to every word and every instruction that is coming from Jesus. This is a picture, saints, of a true disciple. We hunger for the word of God. We desire to hear from the Lord. This is not just a picture. This is not a picture of a mere church member who sits in the church services in whatever role, full of information that comes from the world. Amen. No, Mary is anxiously waiting to hear from her God, her Lord, her Master. She's waiting to hear from Christ. She's sitting there getting instructions from Christ. Amen. And in verse 40, says it this way. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Martha was distracted. Martha has a lot on her mind. Martha has a lot to do. Now, it does not say here, and we should not assume here that Martha is some horrible rank sinner. That's not what we're getting here. What we're seeing here is that Martha is not a horrible believer or something like that. Martha is just like a lot of us who are cumbered, distracted by much serving and doing. We have our priorities a little mixed up. Amen? Martha received or welcomed, as it says in verse 38, Jesus into her house. And like a lot of us, we welcome Jesus in and then we get too busy doing things that would ever benefit from Jesus being there. So Martha invites Jesus into the house, but she's so busy that she gets no benefit from him actually being there. Kind of like when we receive salvation and the Spirit of God takes up residence in our heart and he's resting in our hearts, but we don't have the time or we don't make the time to spend with the Holy Spirit simply by sitting and listening to the words that come from Jesus. Now, these words that come from Jesus, I'm not talking about I got a word. I'm talking about the word. The word is in your Bible. I got a lot of folks that are, you know, claiming to have a word, and everybody's got a word for this season, but I just wish we could all sit down sometimes and get back to basics where we listen to the word and get into the word. Martha here is hearing straight from her Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus is in, Mary rather, is sitting here hearing the words straight from Jesus Christ. So Jesus is in the house, but Martha's not getting the benefit like Mary is getting the benefit. If we could all just get somewhere and sit down. Now back to Martha. Martha, as I said, she's not a rank sinner. She's not a person who's totally out of step here. That's not what we're getting here. What we're seeing here is that Martha feels that the best thing to do while Jesus is there is a bunch of housework. Now, it's not a bad thing that Martha wants to serve Jesus. It's actually a good thing that she wants to serve Jesus. But what we're seeing here is it's not the best thing. That's what Jesus is getting ready to point out. Martha believes that it's more important to do for Jesus than just to be with Jesus. Oh, I hope somebody got that. I hope you got that. Martha feels that it's better at this time to do for Jesus than to just be with Jesus. And again, it's just that she needs her priorities rearranged. There's something wrong, or there's a problem, saints, when we begin to exalt our service to God over our affection for God. Are you hearing me? And when that happens, God graces us. He graces us with what he must do, which is give us an adjustment on how we see things. Because we get all bent out of shape if we're not sitting before him. Some of us think that our service that we render to God is a mirror image of our love and affection for God. But the truth is that we could actually be serving for all the wrong reasons. So that those two things don't always equal the same thing. Amen? We can serve to look good to others. We can serve and become proud and exalted in our own hearts and lifted up. We can serve for reasons that have nothing to do with Jesus at all. We can serve and be totally distracted from Jesus. But when you come to Jesus just to sit at his feet, now that's when it's all about him and nothing else but him. And Mary has chosen to sit before her king, her master. Now, let me just take a little sidebar here. Some of us get this wrong even in our human relationships. Let me give you an example. Some fathers believe that if, you know, and I've done this before, and I've thought this way before, because we're taught to provide, but some fathers believe that if we are providing for our kids, then we're really there for our kids. If we're working hard for our kids, then we're really spending time with our kids, or we're really in a relationship with our kids. But if you just provide for your children without spending any time with your children, then you end up with a host of other problems later on as far as your relationship with your children. If you're not available for your people, then you really don't know your people. So Martha was distracted and cumbered with much serving and entertaining and the guests of the house, and she really wants to honor Jesus and be hospitable to Jesus, and that's okay, but watch something not right here. Watch how she responds to what's happening with her sister Mary. And Martha, it says, in that same verse 40, and it came, and she came to him, and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Again, serving God and loving devotion to God are not always the same thing. In fact, people of God, if you don't prioritize your time sitting at the feet of God, then your service to God will come out with the wrong attitude. Martha is so busy trying to get things done that she doesn't realize that her service has been tainted with anger and resentment. She's trying to serve Jesus while she's a little bit ticked off. Jesus, do you even notice that I've been vacuuming and sweeping and I washed all the dishes and could you just tell Mary to get up off her feet and at least help me set the table or something? Don't pull out the paper plates. Let's get the good plates because Jesus is here. We want to do something that honors Jesus. Jesus, can you just tell her to do something? I've been cooking all day. I'm serving all day. I cleaned up everything and she's just sitting there. This is not the peaceful attitude that would come from somebody who was just sitting at the Savior's feet, hearing the words of God. It's kind of like a position that some of us have been placed in recently. My wife and I have been there for some time. And I'm not boasting, I'm just saying, welcome to the party. But those of you who are homeschooling now, and you serve your children, you serve them, but you got to realize that as you serve your children, you got to spend time in prayer. Because if you're not spending time in prayer and in the word of the Lord, it's going to be hard for you to serve with the right attitude. Your attitude will come out wrong and resentment will start to build in your heart because you've got these teenagers now in your house who are there all day long and they can't leave and you just jump up every morning and start school. No, no, no. That's a no-no. You got to go before the Lord before you do anything. Because your service will come out wrong. And some of us have decided that it's best to work for Jesus before we really got a chance to spend any time with Jesus. And then we end up, because we do that, end up misrepresenting Jesus. Verse 41. But the Lord said unto her, Dear Martha, 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 thou art careful. You are worried and upset. The King James says, thou art troubled and upset and careful about many things. You got all these details that you want to tend to. You care about a lot of stuff, Martha. There's a lot on your list. Your list of things you think are very important, but they're a distraction from the main thing that should be on your list, Martha. And you're troubled. You're troubled. With all the things that you're concerned about, this stuff is not bringing you any peace. And then here's what's happening, Martha. Because you have not sat before me, you don't sound like me. You don't have the same attitude. You're not acting like me, Martha. Because you have not prioritized the words that come from me. Amen? And some of us have been very, very busy. But let me say something to you, saints. Being busy is not always productive. Just because you're busy doesn't mean you're productive. When you go to the gym, there's this machine there that a lot of us know about called the treadmill. Now, the treadmill can help you accomplish a great many things. The treadmill can bring your heart rate to where it should be. The treadmill can help you burn off carbs. The treadmill can help you lose weight, and you can get real skinny for yourself and look good and feel good about yourself and look in the mirror and feel like, you know, you're really doing something. But have you noticed that no matter how hard you work or how much you sweat, on a treadmill, you're moving a lot, but you're not going anywhere. You don't move from one place to another. You're actually stuck in the same place that you were, no matter how hard you work. That's like some of us. We work so hard, we get real busy, and we go nowhere. Now, the kingdom of God is opposite from this world system that we have been trained in. It's the opposite of how we naturally think. If I hear the words of God and sit in the kingdom and hear the words that come from my king, then something happens in his presence that happens nowhere else, in any place else you can find it. It's the only place or the only way to actually travel without moving. What do you mean by that? This is where I begin to grow. This is where I begin to change. This is where I become even more effective. How am I doing that? I'm just sitting before him, hearing his words. This is how I become more useful. This is where I get my clarity. In the world, it seems like you got to be all over the place. But in the kingdom, when you sit before your king, you actually travel without moving. Just sitting there before him. He changes your heart. He changes your motive. You move from, as I said before, from the flesh into the spirit. You begin to see what's really important. Amen? 1 Timothy 4:8 says this. Moving quickly. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Bodily exercise profiteth little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that is now and that which is to come. And then one we all know and have quoted, but let's make this practical today. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things that seem so important, that if we're not careful, can be in the wrong place, could have the wrong priority spot. All these other things, if we just put Jesus in his rightful place, if we just slow down and get somewhere and sit down and put Jesus in his rightful place, all these other things will be added. Back to Luke. And let's go to verse 42. Luke 10. Verse 42. So, Martha, you are troubled about many things. You're careful about many things, but one thing is needful. Again, I want to stress this to Martha, to the saints. Martha is being gently rebuked here. Amen? Jesus is gently adjusting her. Amen. There's nothing wrong with getting in shape, nothing wrong with cleaning your house, nothing wrong with being hospitable to the body of Christ. There's nothing wrong with handling your business, making money, getting a job. There's nothing wrong with taking care of your children. There's nothing wrong with being with your husband and working on your relationship. But if you don't spend time with Jesus by yourself, if you don't spend time, then you will be busy with a lot of things, with no insight as to how to handle these things. And if you're not in tune with the main thing, then you don't get anything from Jesus. You've got to spend time with him. You've got to slow down. You've got to shut it down. You've got to isolate. You've got to distance yourself from everybody else and get before the Lord so you can hear his words. Verse 42, Jesus says to her, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part. Then he says this, which shall not be taken away from her. Now this is heavy. What Mary has chosen, Martha, cannot be taken from her. You realize that everything that we work on, everything that we have, everything that we're pushing towards, every goal, every focus that we have in this life can be taken away from us except for one thing. There's only one thing that we really, really keep. You know what we keep? We keep His words. We keep His words. The words even bring salvation. The words bring sanctification. The word brings everything that is eternal. Everything we have that cannot be corrupted comes from God's word. The one thing we keep is the word. And the word is also the thing that keeps you and me. Amen. All flesh is like the grass. The grass withers and fades away. The glory of man is like a flower. It withers and falls. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. All right. Last scripture. I'm almost done. John 10:27 says this. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. First things first. The sheep know their shepherd, Master Shepherd Jesus Christ, because He's the one that's called them. He has called them into salvation. How do we come into salvation? We heard the gospel that saves men's souls. We heard the gospel that delivered us from hell. We heard the gospel that transformed us, that brought us from darkness into the marvelous light. We heard that we were sinners and we needed Jesus Christ. We heard that we will die in our sins if Jesus Christ did not pay for our sins. Amen? We heard that He died on a cross to deliver us from the wrath of the Father. We heard the gospel. We know His voice. We heard His voice. So, first thing, we hear the voice by responding to the preached gospel and believing in the gospel. Amen? And then thereafter, the second part is, after we've believed, then we continue to hear His voice on a day-by-day basis so we can obey what Jesus is saying to us. And how do we hear that without any confusion and any conjecture of our own and any creativity? We got to go back to the Word of God. Amen? The Holy Spirit makes that word, which is good enough, alive to us. Amen? So, to hear His voice and to follow His voice is to be trained by His voice. But not so much the sound of His voice, saints, but to be familiar with the instructions that come from His voice. I'm not trying to be deep. I'm not trying to be mystical. I'm talking about something simple here. Listen to me. My children know my voice. My children have been used to hearing my voice. They know my sound. But to know me and to really hear me is to know my likes and my dislikes. To know what pleases me and what does not please me. To know what will work out for your life and will not work out for your life. Amen? My children know Daddy's voice. They hear Daddy's voice. Why? Because they know my instructions. And it's more beneficial for us to know what God has said than to get all deep and mystical about the sound of how He said it. My children benefit not so much from my sound, they benefit from obeying what I said. To follow what I said. They know that to remember what I said. Amen. Well, listen, my instructions protect them. And will keep them from what somebody else will say. When my children hear someone tell them to do something and it sounds strange to them, it's not because of the sound of that person's voice. If it sounds strange to them and they don't follow it, it's because they would say, you know what? My daddy would not tell me to do that. Why? Because that doesn't sound like my daddy. We follow him because we are familiar with his instructions. We know his word. This keeps us from heresy. This keeps us from all kinds of false teachers. This keeps us from words that will come to us that would encourage us to do certain things that are not right. We don't follow a sound. We've been trained in the instruction because the sound without the instruction does us no benefit. Here's the point I want to make, and I'm done. It's one thing for me to be too busy to spend time with my children. It's another thing for my children to be too busy to spend time with me. This is not the case with the Father. This is not the case with Jesus. This is not the case with our Lord and Savior. Jesus is holding this whole universe together. And even though he is doing all that, he still has enough time for me and you. The problem is not that Jesus is too busy for us. The problem is his children, or the Father's children, are too busy to hear him. Let's examine ourselves. If we have not made time for our Lord here on earth, how can we be confident that we will spend a lot of time with him later in eternity? Examine yourself. Is it likely that we are children of God if we have spent our whole entire lives avoiding or too distracted or distant from the one who would give us the word? Look at it another way. Jesus sets aside heaven to come down to earth for us. He gives his life for us. He pays the penalty of sin for us. He gives depraved sinners like you and me something we could never purchase on our own. He becomes righteousness for us, to the point to where when God looks at us, he doesn't condemn us because his perfect son now represents us. And when we get off track, he will do anything in his power to rescue us, even if it's uncomfortable for us. And he does all of that because he loves us. Now, isn't it just like our loving God to allow something to happen to this whole planet to get us to start thinking about our priorities? To get us to start listening, looking for God again, paying attention, asking God to make us sensitive to him again. Studying his word again. Hearing from the word of God again. For some of us, I pray that this will move Jesus from the last place to the first place, where he belongs. And I thank God that he allows things and loves us enough to rearrange our priorities. And that's where we are today, saints. Jesus is not just something we talk about. He's a person. He's real. He gave his life for us. If that expression of love tells us anything, it ought to tell us that he would want to spend time with us. But we will get no revelation from God without making time for him. My prayer this morning is that as you hear this message, that you would take the time out of your schedule to put Jesus in a proper place and allow him to make whatever changes he wants to make. Allow him to rearrange your priorities. Allow him to reveal himself to you where you see him clearly. Father, we thank you for adjusting us this morning, bringing us to the place where we realize a need for that adjustment, where we realize a need for our priorities to be rearranged. We thank you that you have given us this time, God, to step away from what we do as a formality in our church services, Father, to where we are at home with you and we cannot depend on the people around us, Father. I pray that you would cause us to seek you, your wisdom and your way, Father. Your thoughts are so much higher than ours, Father. You're unsearchable, Father. And we'll be doing this for all of eternity, Father. So rearrange our priorities this morning. We have so many things that we are concerned about. So many things that we even hide behind, Father. Even in ministry, there are a lot of us, Father, who are busy doing for you, but not taking the time to spend with you.